introduce our 10-minute speaker, Paulina from La Mesa. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Paulina and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Larry, for asking me to speak tonight. I don't know if I look nervous, but I am nervous. I'm like super nervous, but it's an honor to be able to give back and be a part of this meeting. A couple months ago, at the beginning of June, I got to come here and celebrate 2 years of sobriety with all of you, so I feel it's my responsibility to come back and tell the newcomers what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today for me now. My sobriety date is June 1st, 2010, and before I got sober, I had been drinking only about 2 years. I started kind of relatively late for what I hear in these rooms. You know, I hear people coming in with, like, at 13. I mean, I don't know. That wasn't my experience, but I started drinking at the end of high school, and, you know, at the beginning it was fun. You know, I just thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. You know, all my friends were drinking, and, you know, I just felt that, you know, it was just, that's what you're supposed to do when you get older. So I started drinking in high school, and it was fun at first. You know, I felt that sense of ease and comfort because, you know, naturally, I'm very, I'm not an extrovert. I'm very introverted, and, you know, it's really hard for me to, you know, talk to people. And I just, at a very early age, you know, always would struggle being able to relate with people. I always felt different than even, you know, even though I didn't recognize it, like, exactly like that when I was growing up, like, looking back, I can see, you know, those patterns of behavior, how I didn't like myself. I always thought that I needed to be something else, something more to gain acceptance from people. And, you know, I've always been sort of a chameleon. Like, with my parents, I'm one way. With my friends, I'm a different way, you know. And, you know, always just trying to fit in and make sure that I'm all right. And now it's totally different. You know, I get these periods, the sense of serenity after working these steps and, you know, coming into these rooms, and I feel like I'm a part of. I'm not better than anyone or less than anyone. I'm just, you know, we're all equal, you know. And when I first came into the rooms, I would try and look at your outsides and try to match them with my insides, and I would still feel that sense of inferiority. You know, I felt like I didn't match up, and, you know, I would even try and, like, look at my outsides with your outsides, you know. Like, I thought when I first came in, I was too young, I was too smart, I was too much of a good kid to come in here, you know. Like, I thought, my first meeting was this, like, crazy meeting with this lady that, you know, kind of took over the whole meeting. She was still drunk and, like, just slurring and falling over, you know. And I was like, I went in with my mom, and we were both, like, staring at each other, like, oh my God, like, I don't think I belong here, you know. But, I drank for the effect, you know. I never drank, well, I mean, maybe there were a couple times where I drank just a few and got, like, a buzz, but, you know, that's not the way I liked to drink, you know. I'm either controlling my drinking or enjoying it, where I'm, like, you know, falling over and can't walk, throwing up everywhere, thinking I'm super funny and awesome when I'm just a drunk mess, you know. But, you know, I felt comfortable like that. It's crazy, you know. That's the insanity of alcoholism, I think, is that, you know, on the outside, you know, if I was looking at myself from, like, an out-of-body experience, it would be like, you know, why do I feel so good like this, you know? But I just felt, and I think, I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, I believe now that I suffer from a spiritual malady, you know, that I don't feel like I'm worthy of anyone's time or love or attention. And so when I'm, you know, in that drunken stupor, I felt like, okay, now my outsides match my insides, you know, like. And so, yeah, when I first came in, yeah, I didn't think that I belonged here. And then, you know, I would just hear, you know, keep coming back. You know, there's, I believe that there are no mistakes, you know, there's, and one of my friends now, you know, when I remember when I first met them, they said, you know, we don't get here by accident. You know, you can always take something out of this program and, you know, apply it to your life. And I'm so glad I stuck around. Steps and, you know, I always like to talk about, well, just mention that, you know, the first step is the only one that talks about alcohol. And the rest of them, you know, just deal with, you know, me finding that connection with a power greater than myself. And I can be a productive member of society. I can be equal, you know, a worker among workers, as the big book talks about. And yeah, that's something that got me through my early sobriety, is that, you know, I would think, well, am I an alcoholic? You know, I just, you know, that's my disease talking to me, saying that, you know, you're not really an alcoholic. Because, you know, that's my solution. I feel like I'm all over the place. I think the human condition is a flawed condition. You know, we're not, you know, we all struggle with things, you know, just because we're human, you know, and I feel like when we die, we graduate to that higher level of consciousness. But, you know, for me, my human condition is I suffer from the disease of alcoholism. So that's my solution. So, you know, any time that I feel inferior or I feel like I don't, you know, I'm not doing everything that I can, you know, I think it's my disease talking to me, so that I can go back to that alcohol and so that I can just, you know, mask all my feelings. And I still do that, you know. I, even to this day, you know, I can't rest on my laurels, because, you know, in the big book, I think, in, well, I don't know, I'm not going to try and bullshit you and let you think that I know the big book back in front, but I know it's in there, that, yeah, I know it's somewhere in there, that, you know, the reason that I've gotten these 2 years of sobriety is because every day I have to work on making that conscious contact with my higher power. I can't rest on my laurels. And the things that I've done these past 2 years, you know, I have to do on a daily basis. Because, you know, when I don't do the things that are outlined in the 12 steps, you know, when I don't pray, when I don't talk to another alcoholic, when I keep secrets from people, you know, I instantly feel, you know, not centered, not serene, you know, and I feel restless, irritable, and discontented, like the book talks about. And so, yeah, what else can I talk about? I guess I'll talk about the steps, how I work the steps. I got a sponsor at my Sunday night young people's meeting, and I went to rehab, and I didn't think I needed to go, but, you know, I'll backtrack, I guess, and tell you a little bit more about my story. I was living up in San Francisco, supposedly going to school, but not really studying or anything. You know, just I went up there to drink, because I am from a very conservative family, and, you know, it just wasn't allowed, you know. I experimented in high school, like I talked about, and, you know, I would tell my parents, oh, you know, I'll stop, you know, I'm sorry, and, you know, just, you know, try and get them off my back. I never really actually meant that, yeah, I'm going to stop drinking, because at that time it was still working for me. I still thought, you know, this is awesome. Why would I give this up? So I was up in San Francisco, and then I hit an emotional bottom where I was just, you know, spiritually bankrupt. I didn't like myself at all. You know, I hit that really low bottom. You know, I was talking about, you know, it all came to a head, and I felt, I made that connection. Like, I finally came face to face with the fact that, you know, I didn't like myself. I didn't think I was worthy of your time, your attention, or your love. And, you know, I just felt completely worthless. And so I called my family, and had my dad came and picked me up, and I came back home. And By the grace of God, you know, for 60 days, my first 60 days, I was just in my house isolated because I was so afraid. I was so just, you know, I didn't trust myself, so I definitely couldn't trust anyone else around me. And so I just, you know, stayed stuck in my house. And then finally, you know, I got really, really restless and really irritable. And I was like, okay, I need to find, there's got to be a reason, you know. I'm an excellent manipulator, and I don't like taking responsibility, so I came to the conclusion that it was my parents' fault that I was feeling so awful, you know. I was like, okay, the way you raised me obviously didn't work, it failed, so we're gonna go see a family counselor because I wanna feel better, and I wanna see, like, what we can do so that I, you know, this was totally selfish, you know, I just wanted to feel better, I wanted to feel normal, you know. So we went to this family counselor, and I think it was the first session that I went there, you know, she, like, did my intake. She asked me, like, how much I drank and any other substances that I had taken, and I told her because I thought, you know, it was fine. I thought it was normal, you know, what I had done. And so she was, like, looking at me, and she was like, okay, I think she just told me straight up, you know, you have a problem with alcohol and you need to get help. And it hit me, like, it totally surprised me, you know, because I thought this is what everyone did. I thought at my age, that's what everyone did. You know, I didn't think there was any other way. And so it really shocked me when she said that I was an alcoholic and that I need to go get help. And, before then I had never heard of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had no idea what you guys were about, and I kind of lost track of where I was going with that, but basically, yeah, you know, like I was saying before, you know, my disease does everything that it can to tell me that I'm not an alcoholic, when, let me get back to the strength and the hope, you know, when I did do the 12 steps and I got the sponsor just because, you know, my rehab said, you know, in order to graduate this program, you need to get a sponsor before you leave. And so I was like, okay, it was like 2 days before I was leaving the program. And I was like, okay, I need to get a sponsor. And then this girl, she said, I'll be your sponsor if you want me to. And so I got to work the 12 steps all the way through with her. And, it was a blessing for me and for her. I was the first young woman that she took all the way through all the 12 steps, and I got to see, you know, they always talk about how sponsees, as a sponsor, you see the light come on in their eyes, and it's such a blessing, and I've gotten to do that too. But I also got to see my first sponsor, like, the light come on in her eyes. Like, she was so proud that she could share her experience, strength, and hope with me and get me through the 12 steps, and I'm so grateful for her for giving me that time. And I remember going to her house for my fourth step and my fifth step, and I was so nervous, you know, because, you know, like I said, I just want your attention, I want to feel validated, and I want to feel like, you know, a whole person. And I thought after I would read her my fourth step that, you know, she would be shocked and disgusted, but she wasn't, you know. And I'm so grateful for that fifth step, because it's a really, I think it was a really good, I mean, they're all really good tools, but, you know, I got to look at myself and take an honest moral inventory, you know, see where my part in these resentments that I have are, and look at the patterns of behavior that I indulge in. You know, left to my own devices, I'm selfish, resentful, afraid, and dishonest. You know, that's just what I go to, you know. And so now, my sponsor now says, she says all the time, once you know something, you can't unknow it. So now that I recognize these patterns of behavior that I have, I can take the steps to, you know, move away from that and be a productive member of society. And then I got to make, you know, I see these patterns of behavior, and so then I can, in the seventh step, I can give them up to my higher power and say, you know, I'm powerless over alcohol, but I'm also powerless over these character defects that I have. You know, just because I'm not drinking anymore doesn't mean life's, you know, smooth sailing and I don't have to worry anymore, you know, I'm cured. No, it doesn't work like that. So I can give those character defects to God, and, you know, I rest and I can take it easy and I can be a loving daughter. I can be a good sister now. You know, I can be a friend, a true friend that, like, you know, I can just be friends and not, like, look for what I'm going to get out of a relationship or, you know, not be afraid of, like, what you're going to take away from me. You know, I can just, you know, be real and be honest and I can make amends. And now I can say when I'm wrong and I don't have to hide and feel that shame anymore of, like, you know, I did something wrong. That means I'm an awful person. Now I know that, you know, I'm just human, you know, and we all make mistakes and it doesn't mean that I'm less than you are, you know. And it's, this program gives me just an awesome sense of serenity. You know, like I said before, you know, I feel like at peace. I feel like I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I don't have to judge others, you know, because we're all, as cheesy as it sounds, we're all in this together, you know. We're all alcoholics, you know. We all got here for the same reason, you know. Even if I look totally different from you, we got here for the same reason, and we're both alcoholics. And then there's that language of the heart that, you know, we can understand each other, and you guys are like my second family, you know. Both my parents are normies, and, you know, my mom's never been drunk in her life, and I just, you know, it's hard to relate, you know. She was asking me too, like, tonight, she's like, what are you going to talk about, you know, like, and I, like, tell her, you know, about, like, that spiritual malady that I have, and I need to carry that message of hope to other people, and I mean, I think she kind of gets it, but it's not the same as when I tell you, you know, we have that connection in here, and I'm so grateful that I stuck around. I haven't had a relapse by the grace of God, and I don't think you have to. I know they say, you know, relapse can be a part of your story, but it doesn't have to be. So welcome to the newcomers. Congratulations to all the token takers, and thanks for letting me share.